All right. 2 Timothy chapter 1, if you'll look at it, we'll start with verse 11. 2 Timothy chapter 1, whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Thou knowest this, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me. And then he names the people. But I want to point out this verse right here, verse 12. The last part of that verse. For I know whom I have believed. I know. And I'm persuaded. I'm persuaded. He's able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day. That's my soul. That's the judgment. And I'm persuaded that he can take care of that. Aren't you, Brother Ron? Now, I'm persuaded I can't. I can't do it. And I'm persuaded you can't do it. But now, if you'll listen to me for just a few minutes, I want to help you. I'm not here to beat you up. I'm here to help you. So if you'll listen, open your Bible, young people. Look up there at me. Pay attention now. Listen. I've been doing this a long time. And this will help you, I promise you. I want to show you seven words. That's all I want to do. I want to show you seven words. Seven of the most important words I think you'll ever hear. And they'll help you. Now, there was a story in Luke chapter 15 of two brothers. One was obedient, and one was disobedient. And the disobedient learned things the hard way. But the obedient, he listened to daddy. Now, you got a choice today. You can listen and go the easy route. Or you turn it off and come back 10 or 20 years from now and say, I should have listened. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And I know you got a lot of friends and they're real smart. And you'll sit and listen to them. You won't listen to me. But I'll guarantee you, if you will listen, it'll help you. There's seven words of instruction that I can give you. Old and young people. Old and young people. You know, everybody doesn't know what you know. There's some old people know nothing about the Bible. Just because they're old don't make them Christians. Amen. Just because God's had enough mercy to let them live a long time don't mean they're going to heaven. Amen. But there's old and young people that need to listen. And it'll make you successful whether you got 5 years or 50 years to live. Wouldn't you rather live and end right than to live and end wrong? No matter how many. And did you know you can be a Christian and be a happy Christian too? You don't have to run around look like you've been drinking vinegar. Amen. Happy are those people that know the Lord. Amen. I'm happy. I'm on my way to heaven. Amen. Amen. And you say, well, you don't know what I'm going through. Yeah, but I know what he went through for you. That'll make you happy. And what you're going through is temporary. It's temporary. This too shall pass. All this stuff's temporary. And so if you'll listen, number one, here's your first word. 1 John chapter 5. Turn to 1 John chapter 5, and I won't give you that first word. The first word is begin. 1 John chapter 5. Mark these down. 1 John chapter 5, look at verse 11. And this is the record that God hath given us eternal life. You hold it in your hand. There's your record. Somebody says, how you know you're saved? Say, I got it written right here. This is my birth certificate right here. And this is the record that God has given us eternal life and that this life is in His Son. And what does it say? He that hath the Son hath life. This is pretty simple preaching. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not what? You're already dead in trespass and sin. You got to wait. Amen. You're going to have two deaths. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God that you may... Not hope so, not feel so, not think so, not have a feeling about it. Mama didn't tell you. Daddy didn't tell you. Grandma didn't tell you. You know it for yourself. Amen. That you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Look at this. And this is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Now help me pray. Father, help us today. Reveal Thy presence and Thy power. Lord, there's some young people here who come to church, but they're not saved. They don't even know what saved means, Lord. You've never revealed Yourself to them. They might have said a prayer. They might have been baptized, but they've never been born again. They don't know if they died they'd go to heaven. God, there might be some older folks here like that today. And Lord, I would think that everybody would want You to wake them up and let them see and let them receive eternal life. Now, Lord, help me with these seven little old words. Maybe somebody will be saved. Maybe somebody will wake up. Maybe somebody will turn a different path. But whatever's done, we're going to say Jesus did it all and give Him the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Number one, you got to begin right. You're not going to end right if you don't begin right. Amen? Look, you can't wait until you got diabetes to start eating right. Too late. You need to do it before you get it. And those with diabetes would say what? Amen. You can't wait until you get lung cancer to quit smoking. You got to start right. Amen. Now, by the grace of God, some of us didn't start right, and the Lord stepped in, interfered, and made it right. But if we'd have began right in the first place, it would have saved us a lot of heartache and grief and pain and suffering and weeping and crying. Amen? Come on. Number one, begin right. You got to begin right. Everything else fails if you don't begin right. If you build a house, you don't start with the roof. I mean, you kind of crippled too high for crutches if you do. You don't build a wall. You build a foundation. You begin right. And unless you do, you're not going to build a good house. In every area of life, relationships, you got to start it off right. A marriage, you got to start it off right. Come on, help me here. Boyfriend, girlfriend, you get the wrong guy, the wrong gal, the whole thing's going to fail. Amen? Begin right. Begin right. That's what the Bible says. Now, that means trust Christ. Amen. Get saved first. You're not going to know what the Bible means until you get saved. There's a lot of lost people read the Bible. Some of them's preaching it. Some of them's teaching it. Amen? But they're starting out wrong because they've never read it to experience it first. They are not born again. Amen? They're just trying to straighten everybody else out. Amen? But they're still not right. You got to trust Christ. You got to be born again. Did you know you started off wrong? Everybody in the world starts off wrong. We're born wrong. We're born sinners, every one of us. You say, not me, preacher. Well, that just proved it. You eat up with pride. You don't want to admit what you are. Amen? We're born sinners. David said, in sin did my mother conceive me. Paul said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You never have to teach a child how to lie. Comes natural. Their sin nature's already got them. Amen? You never have to teach them how to steal. They already know how. How many ever taught y'all how to steal? Anybody ever teach you how to steal? No, sir. That comes natural. Did anybody ever teach you how to be disobedient to your parents? No, that comes natural. They had to teach you not to. And same way with God. We already know how to be rebellious to God. We already know how to go against the laws of God. We need to be born again and get a new start. See, Jesus told that religious man, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Everything else fails, especially on the way to heaven. Amen? Now, there's no guessing about this. There's no guess so. Are you going to heaven? I guess so. You're going to die and go to hell. I'm not being mean. I'm just trying to help you. begin right. You're not going to heaven until you get saved. You're lost. You need to be redeemed. You need to be born again. Well, I hope so. I feel like I am. You're not saved. I mean, there ain't many people in town going to tell you that, but I'll tell you for your own sake. If you're hoping so, feeling so, thinking so, you ain't got it. You need to know so. We used to have a hope so, 1978 Oldsmobile cup. My mother-in-law gave it to me. She wore it out and gave it to us, and then we wore it out and gave it to somebody else. But the doors on that thing was that long. And you could slam them all you wanted to, but you finally had to walk over and pick up on the handle and push it shut. Y'all remember them? Every time you went to the gas station, you filled it up with oil and checked the gas. Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't much of a night. I didn't know so it'd get me anywhere. I was just hoping so. Amen. Some of y'all got hope so cars. Amen. Amen. And if you don't, then park it over next to Calvin Street. And she'll make it a hope so car. But let me tell you something. If you're going to begin right, you've got to be born again. And if you don't begin your spiritual life right, you're not going to end right. You say, well, I'll get so old I can't drink no more, and I'll get so old I can't smoke and do drugs and all this stuff. Then I'll give my life to Jesus. Well, number one, you may not live that long. Amen. You know not what a day may bring forth. Right. Number two, he might not accept you. You say, well, that preacher told me it didn't matter when I did, I could do it. Yeah, but you may just be sending away your day of grace. He may say, I called and you didn't answer. Right. I don't think everybody says that prayer in the hospital gets saved. I prayed with many of them, and I'll guarantee you some of them did not get saved. They were looking to be healed, not saved. Yeah. I better go on. I can tell that got some ugly looks on that one. Look here. Life begins at Christ. I began life at 23 years old. Every day before that, I wasted it. On me. And I'm the one that's dying. So it wasn't life, it was dying. Now, you take that rich fool in the Bible. He says, boy, I got it made. Look here, I got so much growing, I'm going to tear down my barns and I'm going to build bigger, and then I'm going to sit back and said, soul, thou hast done good. Let's eat, drink, and be merry. And God said, thou fool, tonight thy soul shall be required of thee. Now, he ended wrong because he put it off too long. Amen? Now, so number one, that word is begin. Begin right. Now, turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. Y'all still with me? 2 Peter chapter 3, if you will. 2 Peter chapter 3. Look at verse 18. Whoops. I'm way over there on the wrong one. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. You there yet? All right. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Here it goes. For many walk, talking about living, of whom I've told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, and who mind earthly. That's Philippians, ain't it? That's my verse anyway. I wrote it down wrong. Here's the point. They are walking in the flesh. I don't know if they started right or not, but I know they're living wrong. They're not continuing right. Listen, these people have decided they're living for themselves. Their God is their belly. Now listen, look up here. Don't let the devil, my mistaken address, get you, okay? I'm going to sit here and wait till y'all find it before I start preaching. But look, here's the point. They're living for their flesh. Now they might have started out wrong, but they've continued wrong. Here's the word, continue. Continue right. Continue right. Y'all got me? Don't let my wrong address mess y'all up. That's going to get to have y'all twisted for the rest of the sermon right there. Let's continue this thing right, okay? Continue right. Now, I don't know about you, but here's the way you ought to continue. Philippians, same chapter. You still there?
Yeah.
All right, I don't want to mess you up on this one. Philippians, I got a bunch of ADD people, and every time I get something wrong, they all... Philippians, they ain't going to remember nothing but that one verse. All. Philippians chapter 3, look at verse 14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know what he's saying? Continue right.
Yes.
Now you started out right. You got saved. You got born again. Y'all still with me?
Amen.
All right, now you ought to continue right. Yes. Do you know how many people since I've been preaching made professions and you couldn't find them with a microscope now? Out of church, don't read the Bible, don't pray, don't witness, don't live right, don't look right, don't behave right. And it looked like they started off right, and maybe they did, but somewhere along the line, they didn't continue right. Number one, publicly confess Christ. There is no such thing as a secret Christian. He said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. Number one, publicly confess Christ. Number two, publicly be baptized. I had a woman one time said, I'm afraid of crowds and I don't want to get baptized in the baptistry. Will you come over to the house and baptize me in my bathtub? I said, no, I won't. I said, that's not what the Bible says. I said, John the Baptist didn't say, repent and be baptized over at my house in the bathtub. He said, come down here to the river and we'll baptize. Now, if you've never been baptized, you're not right. That's a public profession of your faith in the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ coming up out of the grave. And it's also a public confession of you dying to yourself and being buried in Christ and being resurrected a new creature. Doesn't save you, it's just symbolic. But if you're ashamed of that, then you're ashamed of Christ.
Amen.
Publicly baptized. Number three, publicly worship God in a local church.
Amen.
Go back and read Ephesians 5. Jesus died for the church.
Yes.
He didn't die for the TV program. I know it's tempting to sit home in your underwear and watch Jimmy Swagger. I wouldn't. Some people are so lazy, they'd rather get there and be spoon-fed this junk. Did you know you can call these guys on and join their church on telephone? And then they get your address and they'll send you some tithing envelopes. Let me ask, the day we live in, how do we not know that Stu is really Sam on the telephone? And he's joining your church as Stu. They don't care, no. But if you're going to get saved, you're going to continue right, you're going to have to go to church. Look, we're here to encourage each other and lift each other up and help each other financially, physically, spiritually, whatever it takes. This is a local body of Christ. This represents Jesus Christ. And you're not going to get that at home watching television. Now, there's people that's got saved watching this stuff. I understand that. Before I was saved, I watched some things on TV. I didn't let nobody know I was doing it. I do it secretly. But I didn't get saved watching television. I got saved in a local church. And look, God blessed me in a local church. And God blessed my family in a local church. And God still does that. And look, how are you going to get saved and get publicly baptized, make a public profession of faith, and then not go worship God with other people who say they know Him too? And He commanded us, forsake not to assemble thyself together, as the manner of some is, even so much more so as you see that day approaching. It's a command. That don't save you. But if you'll continue in what He started in you, you'll find a place somewhere in the church that you'll fit in, and God can help you, and the people there can help you. Psalm 84:10. Psalm 84:10. I know why y'all don't preach. You're afraid you'll say the wrong scripture. Well, if you've been around here long enough, you know I do. Psalm 84:10. For in a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. In other words, being in the house of God, around God's people, one day is better than a thousand days anywhere else. Come on. And if you don't like your church, I'd find me one I did. I have people say, well, I can't find one that's right. Start one. Open up your living room, say, there ain't nowhere in town right, and we're going to start a right church right here. You say, I'm not a preacher, we'll call one. Quit making excuses. I had rather be a doorkeeper, Billy, Brother Crouch. I ain't going to say Danny because all he does is talk. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of what? You know, it's strange how people claim to be Christian. They can go to nightclub on Friday night, but you couldn't drag them into church on Sunday. Yeah. I get more joy out of going to church. And I've been a lot of places and done a lot of things. And I came from the south side of Lancaster, so I don't have to explain much. And I've been a lot of places and done a lot of things, but I've never found any place makes me more happy than the house of God.
Amen.
Yes. If you're more happy at the Panthers Stadium, you ain't continuing right. Boy, that went over like a ton of bricks, didn't it? Or the practice stadium, is one. Glory to God, hallelujah. Preach it, brother, preach it. But you got to do it. Look, you got to walk right. You got to work right. You say, well, preacher, I can't do anything. If you can't do nothing but hold the door open for people while they come into church, you're doing better than most people do. John 9:4. John 9:4. Y'all still with me? You ain't mad at me, are you? Give him time. I must work the work of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. I must work the works. Hey, God, you say, well, we're Baptists, we're saved by grace and kept by grace through faith. Yes, we are. But the Bible says faith without works is dead. James says, show me your faith, I'll show you my work. Everybody will do something for God, and everybody can. Everybody can do something for God. I don't care who you are. You can show forth Christ in your walk. Your walk means how you live out there. You can show Christ in how you live, can you not? I mean, the way you dress, the way you behave, the way you talk, that's your walk, see? Everybody can glorify it. That's your work. That's how the world recognizes you and knows you, is by the way you are out there, not in here. You can be a witness. You can be a witness. You know what witness means? Open your mouth and talk. If they called you to court and say, did you see this? When you're a witness, you either say yes or no. That's a witness. And when you're walking out there and you live in this old sin-cursed world, you can talk for Christ. You can tell how good He's been to you. You'd be in hell right now if it wasn't for Him. And when the world's hollering and fussing over politics, they look at you and say, what do you think? And you can just say, I'm just glad to be here. The Lord saved me. He keeps me. He's taking me to heaven when I die. Politics will change tomorrow, but He changes not. Everybody can do it. You can work right. That's the word, work. You can press others of their need to be saved. More people, it used to be more people got saved. You know why? Because Christians talked more about Christ. I don't care who your football team is. I don't watch football. I ain't against it. I just ain't for it either. I don't care who your baseball team is. I ain't against it, but I just ain't for it. I got more important things to do. I don't care about your hockey. By the way, if you're in the South and you like hockey, you're in trouble. But I don't care who your favorite singer is. They may be good. They may be bad. I ought to talk about some things that are important. It's funny how Christians talk so much down there on the job at schoolhouse until it comes to Christ. And Jesus said, the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Abundance means whatever is the most in there is going to come out there. And you'll paint yourself blue and black and go to a game. I guess that's football. But you go down to the house of God or over to where you work and you got lockjaw. I better leave that alone. I can see some men starting to... 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. I said, you got to start right. I said, you got to begin right. You got to continue right. You got to work right. Now here's a good one. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says that we are to abstain from all forms of evil. Now, you gotta play right. You gotta play right. Now, I'm not against recreation. I'm just saying don't let recreation become the lead. You gotta play right. There's a place for recreation. But don't let playing lead you wrong. You know how many people never gambled until they started playing sports, watching sports? There's nothing wrong with having a good time, but we must love righteousness. My wife said the other day they're fussing over a dress code in Fort Mill. And by the way, I agree with their dress code. These girls are distracting these boys, not wearing enough clothes or wearing them too tight. And you said they don't have to look. They're boys. What you think they're going to do, you dummy? God made them that way. And by the way, the girl knows it too. She wouldn't dress like that. Yeah. Go on, get mad at me. Go on, get mad at me. But my wife said they're arguing over these little teenage girls like because they're dressing like husbands. I'm sorry, I said husbands. But look at the cheerleader. Look at the volleyball team. These girls' volleyball team's playing in their panties. Yeah, I'm telling the truth. Look at them. Look at them. Now, you can play, but you got to play right. And you got to avoid all appearance of evil. And if you don't, you're not going to end right because play will take over and you'll become carnally minded more than spiritual minded. Boy, I can tell that one's going over like a ton of bricks. Psalm 97, verse 10. What did you think you was going to hear when you come down here? Psalm 97, look at verse 10. Ye that love the Lord hate evil. Now you can play right, but you don't have to let it lead wrong. You can love righteousness. The problem is we've become complacent about evil in all the areas of entertainment. You know, if you knew those singers that singing that stuff, you wouldn't let your kids listen to it. And if you listen to the words every once in a while, you wouldn't let them listen to it. Well, it's just music. No, it's a whole lot more than that. It's entertainment, and it becomes a lifestyle. Did you know you can learn the secret of correct attitudes about your recreation? I love the ocean. I love it. I love water. I love it. We got a swimming pool in the backyard. I love it. My grandkids come over and wear me out in the swimming pool. I love it. But you know, we quit going to Myrtle Beach a long time ago. You can go anywhere you want to. But it's hard for us to go live amongst all that and be right. So we go down to Garden City or down to Edisto Island or something where it's family oriented. I never forget, we were sitting on the beach down at Edisto Island. There's no place to party. Not many young people there, a lot of families. And there ain't a whole lot of them, it ain't real crowded. Because there's very little, it's against law to have booze on the beach. And I know they say that a lot of places, but we're sitting there playing with the grandkids, and I saw this lady in a police uniform come by on her four-wheeler. And there's a guy just sat behind us and broke out his radio. He wasn't too loud, but he broke out his radio and he broke out his... And she come riding up through there and she was riding behind him and she stopped that thing. She walked over and took that one out of his arm holder. Didn't even talk to him. Opened the cooler, picked out the rest of them. Put them on the back of that little four-wheeler. See, you don't have to put up with that stuff. You can get around it if you want to. And we need to teach our kids that there's some good entertainment and there's bad entertainment. Oh, man, I need to go on. I ain't even got time as much as I'd like to go on with that. And by the way, the churches are bringing half that stuff into the church now. Amen. Now, John 14. I'm almost through. Hang in there. John chapter 14. Look at verse 13, 14. I said, number one, you got to begin right. Number two, you got to continue right. You got to work right. And you got to play right. And now, look at John 14, verse 13. I'm trying to tell you how to have a good Christian life. Look at verse 13 and 14. In John 14, okay? Verse 13. I got to get there myself. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. You got to learn how to pray right.
Amen.
If you're going to be a successful Christian, happy Christian, you got to pray, but you got to pray right. Now, most TV preachers are not going to tell you this because all they want you to pray about is giving them money. You got to learn how to pray. He said, whatsoever you ask in my name. Look, pray according to the word and the will of God.
Amen.
Did you know everything you ask for ain't the will of God?
Right.
You still know sinful flesh and that sinful mind, and it'll mislead you.
Yes,
I got to put my old story in there. Can I put my old story in there?
Oh, yeah.
Story number 75. Y'all, we got visitors, they ain't never heard it. Pastor was out in his yard one day there at the sidewalk washing his car, you know. And this young man come by and he's just whistling and happy. And the pastor says, hey man, where are you going? He said, I'm going down here to the car lot and get me a new car. He said, you are? You better say if it's the Lord's will. He said, no. No, got money right here in my pocket. Then picked it out. Man told me to come get it. I'm going down there. I'm going to get my new car. He said, all right, you better say if it's the Lord's will. He said, no, it ain't got nothing to do with it. I didn't got it. And he walks off. A little bit later, he comes dragging by, old beat up, cut up, bloody. And the pastor said, boy, what happened to you? He said, preacher, you know that car I was going to get? He said, yeah. He said, you know that money I had to get it? He said, yeah. He said, a couple guys jumped on me and beat me up and took my money and I can't get the car. He said, son, what you going to do now? He said, I'm going to go home if it's the Lord's will. Amen. Think about that when you're buying that new car. Amen. You better pray right. Pray according to the word of God. And you can't pray right if you don't know the word of God. Amen. Establish a daily habit every day like Daniel. Pray every day. Same time. Do it every day. Because if you don't do it like that, you won't do it. The devil will get you busy. He'll sidetrack you. People will sidetrack you. And at the end of the day, you'll start praying and wake up the next day unfinished in prayer. You better do like Daniel. He went to that window every day at the same time. His enemies even knew when and where he prayed. You better do it every day, same time. Me and my wife, every morning, thank God we didn't always do it when you got a bunch of little youngins running around screaming and hollering. You can't do things sometimes. But after the kids got out, we got friends. Some of y'all don't know anything about that because they came back and brought people with them. But every morning, we eat breakfast and we pray together and we do a daily devotional together. And then she goes to work and I go to work and I come down and pray some more every day. Look, if you're going to end right, you better just begin right, continue right, work right, play right, but you better learn how to pray right too. Amen. The devil will have you praying for things. It may be that guy ain't he's not in God's will. God don't want you to marry him. Well, I'm praying about it, preacher. We better wait to see what God says about it. Or that gal, either one. Pray for guidance. Some of y'all are going to get up this week every day and you're not going to ask the Lord to guide you in what to do today, and you're going to do what you do and you're going to mess up every day just like you always mess up every day. And you can't figure out why. Well, I'll tell you why. You didn't ask God to guide you that day. He'll get in your way and make things right if you'll ask Him to guide you. Pray for others. Some people wouldn't pray at all if they wasn't praying for themselves. You ought to feel sorry for others. You ought to have compassion on others and pray for them to be saved. Pray for them to be right and pray for their needs. By the way, Sister Pat's going on a flight this week. Her mama's been put in a nursing home. I think it's in Texas, ain't it, Pat? Is it Texas? Oklahoma, okay. And she is not doing well, and y'all pray for her. I don't think she's ever flown on a plane. Oh, she has. Well, she's flown on a plane, but she's burdened about it. Y'all pray for her this week. And there's other people you need to pray for. You say, well, preacher, I hit my thumb, and I'm so sorry. You'll pray for people a lot worse off than you are. Jeffrey's going to get cancer surgery this week. Pray for him. Amen. Ron's got COPD and diabetes and heart trouble. And pray for him. Pray for others. Look, if you'll pray for other people first, then pray for you, your problem won't look so big. Then you pray for your daily needs. Then pray for the fullness of the Holy Spirit. When was the last time you asked God to fill you with His Holy Spirit? Y'all listen to me, young people? Have you ever asked God to fill you with His Spirit? Yeah, you need that. You need it. You need Him. And then pray for a burden for lost people. Some of you got lost people living in the house with you, and you never pray for a burden for that lost person you're living with, and they're going to die and go to hell without Christ, and you don't even pray for them, just pray for you. Pray for your church family. Pray for your old pastor and his family. Pray for your country. Instead of cussing and fussing and carrying signs, you ought to be praying. Praying changes things more than anything else can. Amen. Amen. Pray. if you got an enemy, the Bible says pray for him. That's what it says. Pray for them. Say, Lord, bless them so much they can't understand it. Then they'll start being better to you. Amen. Man, I'm out of time. John chapter 4. Hurry. Y'all are so slow listening. John chapter 4. Look at verse 34. If the choir had gotten up here on time, we'd be through by now. John chapter 4. Well, they always blame it on the preacher. I get blaming on somebody. Look at verse 34. John chapter 4, verse 34, if you will. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye there yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto eternal life, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. You begin right. You continue right. You work right. You play right. You pray right. And you have to learn how to see right. Seeing will produce witnessing. Seeing will pay the bills at the church, give tithes and offerings. Seeing will have compassion on people with needs. Most people don't see past their own mirror. Well, poor little me, you don't know how hard I have it. Well, would you open your eyes and look around you? There's a lot of people worse off than you are, especially if they're lost and going to hell. A couple of generations ago, they called it the me generation. I don't know what we call it now. I guess we'll call it the see generation. But you got to learn how to see right so you can see others that's lost and dying and going to hell. Look, listen to me. Get your family album out and look at that thing, and everybody in your album related to you now is either lost or they're saved. That grandchild's not just your cute little old grandchild. Besides that, my youngest one's the prettiest. Little redhead. But we got to see more than that. We need to see them as people that's going to be lost or they're going to be saved. And I know your little old boy's the handsomest, but is he lost or is he saved? And I know your wife's the prettiest, but is she the lost or is she the saved? And I know your husband's a handsome and big muscle man. I knew that'd get you. But is he lost or is he saved? You got to learn how to see right in order to do right to please God. Now, I'm just 1 Corinthians 15:31. 1 Corinthians 15, look at it with me. And we're on the way to the house. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31, if you will. I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. You have to learn how to die right. You have to, and I'm not talking about physical death. I'm talking about spiritual death. You have to die to yourself if you're going to end right. Romans chapter 6, verse 11 says this. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
You need to die to yourself. Die to your rights. You ever heard anybody say this? Well, I know my rights. You'll die to that. Put everybody else's rights above yours. All this marching and protesting, all that junk, that's selfish, self-centered people, and they ought to die to their own rights and say, everybody else is better than me, and everybody else ought to be ahead of me. I ought to be the servant of everybody else. They ought not have to serve me. Jesus was a servant. He didn't come to rule. He came to serve. And we're here to die to ourselves. Nobody has to serve me. I ought to be serving everybody else. I always tell these young preacher boys, if you want to be the king, you ain't a pastor.
Amen. That's right.
If you got to be the big dog, and you got to be the top dog, and you got to be the big daddy, you're not pastor material. Pastor is a servant. Jesus took his robe and laid it aside and got down and washed people's feet. The average Christian nowadays. Now, we don't believe foot washing is a church ordinance. We know it's not. Baptism, Lord's Supper. But it is a demonstration of humility that Jesus Christ Himself lowered Himself from His kingly position in heaven and came down and ministered to dirty, rotten sinners like me and you. And we ought to be willing to do the same thing. One night, we'll just surprise everybody and have a foot wash.
Yeah.
Most of you wouldn't come because you got them yellow toenails. You don't want nobody to know it. I got them too. And if you live long enough, you'll get some. Well, we ain't finished on that, whether or not you live long enough. But we need to diet ourselves. We had a guy who used to lead the singing for us. I ain't calling his name, you'd know it. And we had a visiting pastor and his wife who came all the way down here to go to the Catawba Indian Reservation to adopt a little baby. Over in on the old church. And they came in early, like most Baptist preachers will when they come to your church, and they found them a nice place to see it. And this guy led the singing. I didn't know it until after church was over. He said, that preacher told me this guy came up to him and said, y'all going to have to move. This is where me and my wife sit. This is our seat. And he got up and moved. I said, if I'd have been you, I'd have sat there and started singing. I shall not be moved. I shall not be you hypocrite. I ain't moving. Of course, in the Baptist church, you don't find people fighting over the front seat. Lady told me the other day, there's somebody in church I just don't get along with. I said, well, sit on the front. You won't even know she's there. Is that why you up here and somebody not getting along with you? We need to diet ourselves. You're not going to finish right if you don't. You young people at school, listen, if you got what you deserve, you'd be in hell. Begin right. Continue right. Walk right. Work right. Play right. See right. And then you'll die right. You'll finish this course because you did it the way God said it, not the TV preacher. Or your very spiritual pot-smoking friend who's got it all figured out. Ain't that funny? They got it all figured out. Now listen to me. Young people, you ain't been at this long. There's some older people around here to help you if you'd let them. Your Sunday school teacher would help you on this road if you'd let them. And we're not here to straighten you out or to deprive you of some secret sin that we enjoyed. Now we don't want you to do it. We're here to help you. We help you to live right, continue right, and die right. I preached many a sermons to people who said they was Christians that died total failures, total defeats, because all they did was make a profession of faith one day and occasionally dropped into church. Seven little words in the Bible that'll help you. Come back tonight. We'll help you stay right. Come Wednesday night. We'll help you know what the Bible says. Amen. Come to Sunday school. Sunday school teacher will help you be right. But the most important thing today, if you're not saved, amen. He said, I know. I hope so, think so, believe so. I know in whom I have believed. Amen. And I am persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day when I have to stand before God. Do you know? Are you persuaded? You say, well, preacher, I just don't know. I wouldn't leave here like that. I'd make sure that I was going to heaven before I left here today. And some of you know you're not right. We don't have to name all your little sins to convict you. You've already been convicted. You already know you're not right. And you're not going to continue right until you get past that and make it right. Now the altar's open for you. The altar's open for those who need to get right in the first place. You must be born again.